This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush proposed on Monday cuts in more than 125 government programs in his $2.4 trillion budget, but even fellow Republicans were skeptical he could meet his goals to reduce federal record deficits. After inheriting a record surplus, Bush has overseen a dramatic worsening of the budget picture, which is expected to yield a record $521 billion deficit this year. He hopes to improve his fiscal image before the November election by promising to reduce the deficit by a third next year and in half by 2007. To get there, he is asking Congress to terminate 65 major programs and reduce another 63, reserving the bulk of new federal spending for Homeland Security and defense. Democrats scoffed at Bush's plan to stem the red ink while asking Congress to make permanent his tax cut. Fiscal conservatives accused the White House of relying on gimmicks like stretching the definition of Homeland Security to sidestep its own spending limits. Even a spending freeze in areas targeted by Bush would cut the deficit by just $3 billion, according to some Republicans. The Democratic presidential candidates fanned out yesterday across seven states holding contests tomorrow and a couple that aren't, seeking an edge on the biggest day yet in the race for their party's nomination. Frontrunner John Kerry, ahead in polls in five of the states, came under fire again over his fundraising. In this case, it was money raised for his 1996 Senate reelection by Johnny Chung, a Taiwanese businessman who later pleaded guilty to passing illegal contributions to President Bill Clinton and Kerry. The Massachusetts senator said he had no idea the money Chung raised for him was tainted and had returned it once questions were raised. American military officials raised the death toll in the suicide bombings at two Kurdish party offices to 67 on Monday. The figure, up from an earlier estimate of 56 dead, was released by U.S. military officials. The officials said there were 267 people injured in the attacks. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Tacking junior or the second onto a boy's name is so 20th century. So a self-described engineering geek took a software approach to naming his newborn son. John Blake Cusack talked his wife Jamie into naming their son John Blake Cusack 2.0. Version 2.0 was born Tuesday at Holland Community Hospital, and the proud parents took him home Friday. Cusack said he had the idea for a few months and spent the better part of that time persuading his wife to go along. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do, roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. And the phone number here, if you'd like to join, is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. The big story over the weekend, of course, is Janet Jackson. Boy, we are really a crazy country, aren't we? Michael Powell, who's the chairman of the FCC, has decided to put together an investigation. Boy, is that word getting overworked, investigation. So here we are. Michael Powell will not investigate why media in this country is falling into fewer and fewer hands. Matter of fact, he promotes that idea. Michael Powell will not have the FCC investigate how media is being misused, the public airwaves. None of that. But let a couple of rock freaks get up on stage at halftime in this, whatever the hell this show was at halftime. Even the Super Bowl is becoming a joke. That was a good game, though. But, let a couple of rock freaks get up there and claw at each other's clothing, and all of a sudden we have an investigation by the chairman of the FCC.
CBS, which would not run an ad from MoveOn.org because it was too controversial. CBS, which would not run a movie about the Reagans because it was not quite in balance. CBS
apologized for being the network that provided viewers with zero glimpse of Janet Jackson's breast. If you wanted to see Janet Jackson's breast, And God help you, if you did, you had to go to, MSN, no, not even there, Drudge. Somebody said it was up at Drudge, MTV, someplace where you could see her actual breast. We were watching the game when Justin Timberlake pulled the breast protector off Janet Jackson's jacket. The camera was, back maybe, 100 yards? Jesus. let me move on, please. Please, nobody call in about that. Al Gore's son has been sentenced to substance abuse counseling as part of a pretrial diversion program to settle a marijuana possession charge. This agreement was approved today by a judge in Maryland. Calls for the misdemeanor charge of possession to be dropped after a year if Al Gore III submits to having his urine tested, community service, counseling, and steers clear of criminal convictions. Young Master Gore, who attends Harvard, had no comment after the brief hearing. He was accompanied by his mother, Tipper, who also did not comment. Al Gore III was arrested December 19th in Bethesda after an officer stopped him for driving without having his headlights on. Not a good thing. The officer smelled marijuana, noticed the windows of the car were open despite frigid temperatures. Ah, yeah, the quick roll-down-the-window trick. Search of the car turned up a partial marijuana cigarette. Marijuana cigarette. Why don't they just call it a joint? A cigarette box containing suspected marijuana and a crushed soda can that smelled like marijuana. Gore was charged with possession, as were the two passengers in the car, Mark and Jan. They, too, will undergo the same treatment program as Gore, according to the prosecutor. The younger Gore has been stopped by police twice before in recent years. He was ticketed by military police in September 2002 outside Fort Myers, suburban Virginia, for driving under the influence. Prior to that, summer of 2000, stopped for driving just under 100 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. This kid needs help, wouldn't you say? I mean, he's kind of like Rush Limbaugh. Except this kid, he's not a kid, he's 21 years old. This adult is being ordered into all sorts of programs to get him some help that he obviously needs. I don't quite understand making a big deal about a kid smoking reefer, a 21-year-old smoking reefer. Jesus. But on the other hand, Al Gore III, is he not showing a pattern here of behavior, sort of like the congressman out there in South Dakota, Janklow, who... you know, had 10, 12, 14, 80, 1,000 moving violations, and he finally killed somebody. And now he gets 6 months in jail, maybe. By the way, what are the Bush twins doing? Have they been vomiting on each other lately? But Al Gore III, get some help, son. Really, truly, get some help. Get some help before you wind up like Rush Limbaugh. Speaking of right-wing pigs, a judge has ordered DNA testing to determine whether President George Bush's brother Neil fathered a child with another woman while he was married. No. Neil Bush's ex-wife Sharon requested the test to defend herself against a defamation lawsuit filed by the other woman's ex-husband. Are you following this? This is Bush family values.
Well, Mike, you just did a story about Al Gore smoking pot.
Yeah, this is adultery, sex, bastards, illegitimate children. There's no such thing as an illegitimate children. The child is only illegitimate people who make... Never mind. Sharon Bush testified during the couple's divorce that she heard rumors that her husband had an affair with some woman and is the father of that woman's 3-year-old son. Blah, blah, the woman and Neil Bush are now engaged. Engaged? I'd hope so with a 3-year-old kid. The woman's ex-husband, filed a defamation lawsuit against Sharon Bush, saying he's the boy's father. So on Friday, a judge in Houston says, all right, everybody get in here, roll up your sleeves. We're going to get some blood out of everybody and find out who's who and what's what and how's how. Bush family values. Don't you love it? Neil, he's the one that ripped off one of the SNLs for $1 billion, and when he got fined, all the right-wing pigs lined up to bail him out.
George, I helped your brother. Remember, I helped your brother, George.
Newsweek magazine is reporting for the first time a majority of Americans, 54%, believes the Bush administration, cough, cough, misinterpreted intelligence about Iraq.
Well, I guess that's something, right? But a majority, 51%, also believes Bush did not willfully lie to the public. And despite claims by a former weapons inspector, gee, I wonder who that could be, that Iraq had no illegal weapons, half, 49% of those polled still believe Saddam Hussein's regime played a direct role in the September 11th terror attacks. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Even after David Kay, after everybody says, okay, look, even when Bush says there's no connection between Saddam and 911, it's stunning, isn't it? Isn't it stunning? 49% of Americans still believe Saddam had a direct role in September 11 terror attacks. And 55% still believe Iraq had banned weapons prior to the war. Unbelievable. More than half, 55%, feel the United States did the right thing in going to war with Iraq. Well, yeah, you know, and anybody says, well, it's our leadership that's crazy, it's not us. No, it's not. We are crazy. We are totally crazy. 55% of us now believe that a war based on lies, a war based on preemption, a war based on picking on the weakest little bastard in the Middle East. You know, why doesn't Bush attack Israel? Huh? They have nuclear weapons. They're killing people. They're bombing their neighbors. They're also the recipient of an awful lot of violence, too. But why not? Oh, okay. In a sense of fairness, why doesn't Bush start nuking or bombing the occupied territories? Let's kill the Palestinians and kill the Israelis. I mean, look what they're doing. They're causing the whole area to boil over in blood and gore and destruction. Right? Wrong. So when we say we have piss-poor leadership in this country, come on, let's be real. Let's be real. Let's be real. We have the kind of leadership we deserve. Now, and for those of you who are going to email and say, well, Mike, you know, Bush didn't win the election. That was given to him by five Supreme Court justices. Well, okay, yes, absolutely. Bush is a liar and a thug and a thief. But the fact remains that no matter how much evidence is out there, we still have 49% of Americans who think Saddam ordered the attack on this country. Jesus, do you understand what that means? The depth of the ignorance here. And we're about to get, we're going to elect another president in 8 months, 9 months? And we don't even have, deep breath, Mike. There was a New York Times op-ed piece a couple of days ago, titled Givers and Takers. Each year, the Tax Foundation, which is a nonprofit research group, they crunch the numbers from the Census Bureau, and they come up with an intriguing figure. How much each of the 50 states receives in federal spending for every dollar it pays in federal taxes. Do you understand that? For example, according to the most recent data, for every dollar the average North Dakotan paid in federal taxes, he got back in his state $2.07 in federal benefits. Now, that's a pretty good deal. That's more than a 100% return on your money. Bada-bing, bada-boom, right? But while someone in North Dakota was doubling his money, a citizen in neighboring Minnesota was being shortchanged. For every dollar Minnesotans sent to Washington, only 77 cents in federal spending came back to the state. You see how this works? Now, using the Tax Foundation's analysis, it's possible then to group the 50 states into two categories, givers and takers. The givers are the people who contribute more money than they get back. The takers are the people who get back more money than they give in, contribute. You see how it works, the givers and the takers? Well, you may be ahead of me already and know where this story is going to go, but I'll finish it up when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Don't get me wrong. If it's free in the Iraqi people you're after, then why have we waited so long? Why didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price.
price of oil, it's all about...
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Mullet Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Mullet Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Did Saddam Hussein have a weapons program? And the answer is absolutely. And we gave him a chance to allow the inspectors in, and he wouldn't let them in.
You're going to burn in hell for that one of these days, Mr. Bush. You liar. Bush's budget or Janet Jackson's breast? Which one has enjoyed more media exposure? You'll pardon the pun today. Oh, by the way, Simple Scotty and Bush will be speaking on this program a little bit later tonight. Stick around. So, we have givers and takers, according to the Tax Foundation. This is an organization that checks out on average, what a resident of the various states pays in federal income tax. That's all I'm talking about here. And how much each, on average, and how much on average each resident of that state gets back. There are states that are givers, like Minnesota, where for every dollar they give back 77 cents. There are states like takers, which would be North Dakota. For every dollar they give, they take back $2.07. You see how it works? 33 states, then, are considered takers. There are 33 that get more than they give. There are 16 that are givers. They give more than they take. One state, Indiana, has a perfect one-to-one ratio of taxes paid and spending received. For every dollar they put in, they get a dollar back. Now, the problem here, that, you know, they keep talking about the Democrats have an electability problem.
Oh, can they be elected? I'll vote for any Democrat. Oh, we got to get Bush out.
The Democrats' electability problem here comes into focus when you compare, when you take a look at the map of giver states and taker states. And you compare it to the well-known map, the electoral map of red states, Republican, and blue states, Democrat. Now, you might expect, given all the garbage rhetoric that you hear from right-wingers and from degenerate Republicans, which are all Republicans, you might expect that in the 2000 presidential election, Republicans, you know, the party of low taxes and limited government, that they would have carried the giver states, right? While Democrats, you know, the party of wild spending, they would have appealed to the taker state. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Guess what? It was just the reverse. George W. Bush was the candidate, the favorite of the taker states. Al Gore was the candidate of the giver states. Do you understand the importance of this? The further proof, the depths of the Republican hypocrisy that we hear every day from Rush Limbaugh and the rest of the pigs on right-wing media, the constant drumbeat, the constant lies. Who sucks this country dry? Republicans. Who gives until they can't give anymore? Democrats. 78% of Mr. Bush's electoral votes came from taker states. States that get back more than they give in. 76% of Al Gore's electoral votes came from giver states. States that give more than they get back. Of the 33 taker states, Mr. Bush carried 25 of them. Of the 16 giver states, Mr. Gore carried 12 of them. So what's the bottom line? Republicans are the new welfare party. Their constituents, Republicans, live off the tax dollars paid by people like you and me who work our asses off and vote Democratic. Republicans are sucking this economy dry, and they're sucking you and me dry. Because they won't work, they won't contribute. They're lazy bastards who take, take, take. All Republicans. All Republicans. You take states, red states like Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, three of the country's fiercest critics of government, but they're the biggest recipients of government money. Now, who carries the load? Oh, New York, California. Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people?
Didn't think you could still get Union Maine clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com. The world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Breeding tropical fish in captivity could be a new business opportunity that makes life easier for fish in the wild. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. It's been extremely difficult to breed a lot of tropical aquarium fish in captivity, but two researchers in Maine say it can be done, and they're trying to do it themselves. Chad Callen and Soren Hansen are graduate students in marine biology at the University of Maine. They're studying how to breed angelfish, wrasses, and the beautiful mandarin fish, and Callen says one key to success is knowing what the adult fish need to eat.
A lot of the fish that we work with spawn very frequently, sometimes every day. So they utilize a tremendous amount of energy to produce those eggs, and that energy has to come from the diet they eat. And a lot of the commercial aquarium diets that are available right now aren't adequate to sustain that long-term production of eggs. So my work is focusing on developing a diet that maximizes the quality of the eggs and the larvae that are produced.
Hansen's research focuses on what happens after the eggs hatch and how to provide the right kind of food the small fish need to survive. Hansen says a breakthrough in nutrition for tropical fish could open up a lot of new business opportunities for people everywhere.
These fish don't take up a whole lot of space, so you can have quite a high value of fish in a fairly short volume of water. And we hope that we can prove that it can be economically feasible to raise them in a place like Maine. So these fish can be raised in a number of locations in the world and not only tropical places.
Tropical fish are typically caught in the wild on coral reefs, and the techniques for catching them are often hard on the reefs and on the fish. Any breakthrough that allows tropical fish to be raised in captivity could relieve a lot of pressure on these fragile marine ecosystems. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. Yeah, givers and takers. Are you surprised to understand that the people who expect a free ride, expect other people to carry the burden, are really Republicans? Are supporters of George Bush? Are you surprised about that? I have to say it was kind of a surprise. I don't buy into the stereotypes of the Democrats. I really don't. But I thought, surely there must be more of a balance. Surely it couldn't be that obvious that the states that supported Al Gore are the states who get off their asses and provide income, tax income, for the rest of the country. The states that are giver states are the ones that have entrepreneurs, they have small businesses, they have people who are willing to work and work hard. The states that take, that want a free ride, are the ones that are dominated by the Republicans. Isn't that amazing? But that's the way it's always been. Republicans have never wanted to work. They want other people to do the work for them. They just want to sit back and enjoy the fruits of the labor, whether it is work or the military. The strongest supporters of spending trillions of dollars on the military are people who would no more go near a military unit than piss up a rope, Republicans. Whether it's George Bush or Dick Cheney, and yet they will scream and screech and froth and foam at the mouth about supporting the military, but they won't. They won't do it. Education? But they don't do anything to support it. It's up to Democrats. It's always been up to Democrats. It's always been up to Democrats and liberals to go fight and die for this country when it was necessary, to build this country when it was proper, to defend this country when it was needed, defense was needed. It's always been Democrats. It has never been Republicans. They are cowardly. They are takers. Not to mention the fact that they lie, cheat, and steal. But there you have it from a nonpartisan tax group that just simply takes a look at the numbers. That's all. Just take a look at the numbers. Gosh, I wonder why that story wasn't on CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and NBC and Fox and CNBC and QNBC and XNBC and YNBC and ZNBC. Why not? Why isn't that story out there for people to talk about? Oh, that's right. We're talking about Janet Jackson's breast. I'm sorry. Damn. Sean is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear your voice again. I've been so busy, I haven't been able to listen much.
They haven't shipped you out yet, I take it.
No. I just shipped out 50 of my buddies, though.
Oh, God.
That's not pleasant. So it was unpleasant. But I just thought I'd let you know that you're...
Well, I hope they all get back safely.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just thought I'd let you know, speaking in North Dakota and Minnesota, I'm originally from Minnesota, and I lived in North Dakota for a short time, and I learned an interesting fact there. They had, as of 1993, the highest per capita millionaires in the country.
Minnesota?
No, North Dakota.
I'm sorry, North Dakota?
Yes.
Well, they don't. Y'all don't have the. North Dakotans, there aren't that many. Are there only about 20?
No, not that many.
There are only about 30 people that live in the whole state, right?
But there's like, I think 10 or 12% of them were millionaires back when I was living there.
Wow.
And most of them were beet farmers, which, surprisingly enough, you know.
What kind of farmer?
Sugar beets.
Oh, beets. Well, yeah. I'll be damned.
Yeah, and just. You know, I was listening to that, and I'm like, you know, that doesn't surprise me now that I know. And you wouldn't think it. You'd think California or New York or something like that, but North Dakota.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think it would be those states where you have all those non-white population groups. You know, the Negroes and the Latinos and all those immigrants. You know, those racial groups that don't want to work. You know, the ones that want to ride around in their Cadillacs and cash in their food stamps. Right?
Right. Well,
boy, are we suckers for stereotypes, aren't we?
Oh yeah. Well, we're giving plenty of food stamps to the corporate ilk. So,
man, are we ever?
Well, anyway, I just thought I'd clue you in on that one.
Well, thank you. I've got a question.
Spouting that truth.
I got a question before you go, Sean.
Sure.
It's turned out here that Halliburton has also been screwing the U.S. military. Where it concerned feeding, for Christ's sake, the soldiers.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Now, you're a soldier. First of all, when did the military, because I don't know, when did the military give up feeding its own people over to a private corporation?
Well, when I was in AIT, the training phase of my career, we had civilian chow halls.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved over to permanent party, we had Army chow halls. Honestly, I didn't tell much difference between them, but one thing I did notice about both of them is that if there was rotting food or anything like that, because I pulled KP more than my fair share of times, they were Nazis about it, absolute Nazis about cleanliness, about sanitation, about that type of thing.
The military was.
Absolutely.
Right, but the private contractors don't give a damn.
Actually, our private contractors did because they had to deal with it if they weren't.
Well, what's up with Kellogg Brown and Root then, a subsidiary of Halliburton that is?
I can't understand it. Well, I can understand it considering it's from Halliburton, but
yeah.
I, you know, that would never fly here. That would never fly in any of the places. And I've been to Korea, and that's a lot of people consider that somewhat a dirty country because you know they do fertilize their fields in human feces. But even there, the chow halls, all the restaurants, everything there was, you know, anything that catered to American service people was immaculately clean.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well,
that did shock me to hear that.
Yeah, Yeah, it just never stops with these people. Hey, Sean, thanks for checking in, pal.
You bet.
All right, sir. Take care. Is that, you know, can you imagine in, say, now, I don't know this to be true, so I'm just going to make stuff up here. Imagine the Chinese military or the German military during the 30s or the Russian military, Soviet military during the 60s, 70s, 80s. Well, maybe not 60s, 40s, 50s, and 60s with the Russians. But can you imagine, suppose you would have had a private food contractor like Kellogg Brown and Root who provided filthy, rotten food and unsanitary conditions to the military. What do you suppose would have happened? Well, in those societies, it probably wouldn't even been a trial. They just would have been accused, charged, taken out, and shot. I mean, that quick, very quickly. And they do that a few times, and it doesn't happen anymore. Well, I take that back. Sure it does. One of the things that used to fascinate me was over and over and over and over and over in the 60s, 70s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, how many times I used to read about in a communist country where people would be accused of ripping off the proletariat or whatever, you know, black market profiteers who would be caught in the act. There'd be no trial. They would just be executed. Boom, 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 boom. And you'd think, oh, damn, I'm going to get out of that business. But there would always be another group come up and do the same thing, and they'd get caught and shot, you know. But here we are with Dick Cheney's company not just ripping off the taxpayers with the gasoline prices and the construction prices and the no-bid contracts. I mean, these people are real vampires. I've never seen anything like this. Can you imagine if this were the Clinton administration and it was Al Gore's ex-company? Jesus, God in heaven, the media would be over this like white on rice. You would not be able to hear anything else. But it's Cheney, and nobody says a word. Nothing. Nothing. Now it's wormy, rotten food being fed to our soldiers. How about that? And it's meals being built in the American taxpayer that was never, were never even put together. Tens of thousands of meals that you and I are paying for our soldiers that never existed. And the reports coming back from the kitchens run by Kellogg Brown and Root, full of roaches and rats and bugs and camel spiders and just the weirdest crap and garbage and filth. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You might care. I might care. The soldier that bites into what he thinks is a lima bean and turns out to be a camel spider, he might care. But the U.S. Congress, Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, they don't care. Because to them, soldiers are just expendable capital. We want more soldiers. We need more killing. We need to have the margins of death a little bit broader here. We're starting to run out. We need 30,000 more. We're going to suspend all these reservists and National Guards men and women who are trying to leave. Oh, no, 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 no. Come back here. Come back here. Come back here, you little bastard. Come back here. You say your contract was up? Contract? What contract? Get back here! Take this rifle, soldier! Now get out there! By the way, watch out for the food in the mess hall. It's a little dodgy. I haven't heard anything about this except in the places where I read these articles online. Have you seen it on the nightly news? Rotten food? You and I and the rest of the people in who comprise the I guess I don't live in a giver state. I live in Georgia. I live in a corrupted state that's corrupted beyond belief. but for the Oh man. And this is only Monday, right? Oh my God. Ty is calling from Chicago. Ty, welcome to the program.
Oh, good, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. It's been actually a while since I recontacted you, but I've always thought of you, and I put your name out to anybody that I thought wanted to hear the real truth about what was going on here.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Appreciate that.
And it's really, I know you said, hey, let's not dwell on this Janet Jackson thing with her breasts, but, yeah, you're... It's awfully amazing.
Well, there's an investigation
now.
Yeah, Michael Powell is going to conduct an investigation.
I, I, I was looking at the website on MTV because I said, I know that MTV is going to have something on it today, right? And I click on MTV, and what do you see? This big, fat
boom
saying, we're going to thoroughly look at this.
Yeah.
But
oh, God.
Are they going to create a panel now that's independent to investigate what Mr. Bush was doing with his intelligence?
Yeah,
Kay is backing off on everything now. He's turning even to this. I can't even believe it. At first, when Kay came out with this information, it seemed like maybe this was going to be one independent guy who was going to stand up and say, I'm going to stand by what I'm saying.
Right.
That Bush is wrong. But what are we looking at now? Now he's twisting a story one way, another way, to maybe what? Get paid off?
Well, no, just to stay alive.
And you're absolutely right about that too.
You know, just to stay alive. Look at O'Neill. Look at Joe Wilson, whose wife was outed. Look at former Treasury Secretary O'Neill. Look at all these people. You know, they take a chance and they tell the truth, and then they get the midnight phone call from somebody who is not named, but simply tells them, "You son of a bitch, you shut your mouth, or you're going to be a dead man
absolutely
or a dead
right.
woman." And they absolutely do it immediately. Backtrack. This is the Bush crime family. I don't call them that just because I'm trying to be cool or cute. They are criminals. Every last one of them. They will kill you. They will see that you're killed. They will kill tens of thousands of people in order to get to you, like they did with Noriega in Panama, or like they tried to do with Ortega in Nicaragua. They will kill and kill like they did in Iraq, like they're doing in Afghanistan. These are murderers. These are not warriors. These are murderers. These are filthy punk street killers who happen to run the country.
And actually, one thing I wanted to say to you today, along with what we're talking about, is actually I was like your movie guy. I was the person who talked about Starship Troopers. I talked about all these other movies that had to do with fascism. But there was another movie that I wanted to bring up to you again today and to your listeners.
Sure.
And it was called The Beast.
The Beast.
And it talked about, it was with Adrian Pazdar. And it dealt with the Russians being in Afghanistan and how they ended up losing.
Oh, about the guys. The guys in the tank.
And the tank.
The Russian. It's told from the
Absolutely.
Russians. Oh, that's a wonderful movie. God.
What was the only word that he ever remembered? Anawanta.
Which means?
Anawanta, which means forgive me.
Forgive me.
It was the only word that those Afghanistan people knew to stop from killing him.
Thank
because it meant you have to give him,
mm-hmm.
based upon our religion,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Sanctuary.
That's right. The guy that was left tied to the rock.
That is it.
Mention that word, and he was spared. Thank you for mentioning that movie. I have tried to think of the title. For anyone who wants to see one of the most incredible movies ever made, The Beast. Ty
said, where are we going now? Where are we going in Iraq? And I bet you there are a million soldiers right now who are crying out that word when they're being confronted.
Mm-hmm. And all that tank crew was trying to do was to leave.
To get out!
That's all. And even though the tank commander was a psychopath,
you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but all they were trying to do, this was after the invasion had been repelled.
Absolutely.
And one.
And they showed how they lost.
Oh,
they lost.
Incredible movie. Incredible movie. I so recommend The Beast.
But, Mike, I love your show. I am so sorry I have not recontacted you for so long. But
well, here you are.
Have to remember in my heart that you are one of the. You have made such an impression upon my life as a person who's telling the truth, and I know.
All right. Are you listening? Are you listening online?
Actually, I have it online, but I turned it down because I know when I talk on the phone, it's like
a little bit delayed, so
I can't hear you.
In light of what you're saying, I want you to put your hand on the computer and repeat after me. Shamane Hondo. I want you to speak in tongues. No, I'm just kidding, Ty. Ty, there's the music. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening.
Absolutely,
all
Mike.
Right.
You take care.
You too.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heap and helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, tofu, and you.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, Irene sent me an email here, a link to New York Times. It says an envelope containing a suspicious substance was discovered in the mailroom of the Senate office of Majority Leader Bill Frist this afternoon. Officials said preliminary tests determined the presence of the poison ricin. Capitol Police said they received the reports of the material in the room of the Dirksen Senate office building adjacent to the Capitol about 3 p.m., conducted initial tests and came back positive. Blah, 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 blah. Ricin is a toxic substance that could make someone sick or potentially kill them if enough was ingested, according to the CDC. Did Frist say something recently to piss off George Bush? Was there something that... it must have been Michael Moore. No, I'll bet it was Howard Dean that did that, right? Eh? Email from Joe in Pilot Mound, Iowa. Mike, I know where you're coming from, but sometimes we need to be upbeat. Bush's negatives are way up, and conversely, his positives are way down. Please mention Bush's failing poll numbers and give us some positive energy tonight. It's not all bad. No, you're right. It's not all bad. If 49% of the American public thinks that Saddam was involved in attacking us on September 11th, that means 51% either aren't sure, which is probably what most of them are saying, or disagree. And Bush's poll numbers are down. But they're still up to way too high for me Joe to make me believe that the American public is coming out of the ether. I don't know what it's going to take. I honestly believe that that Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and George Bush are planning another attack on this country in order to get those numbers up higher. It's still about 50%. Newsweek says his positives. He's doing a good job. He's a true leader. Those numbers are up. Yes, they're down. But as long as these numbers are over 10%, to me, this country's doomed. If we live in a society where more than 10% of the people think that George Bush is anything but the murderous, lying thug that he is, then we're in trouble. I'm sorry. I wish I could, Joe. Honest to God, I'm so sick of being negative. But I'm not being negative.
Oh, you're not?
We just call him like we see him. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Your phone calls when we come back, plus some sound. Bush talking about the budget he released today and how good the economy's doing. And also Simple Scott. Was it Simple Scotty that were Simple Scotty later on in the program from today? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush proposed on Monday cuts in more than 125 government programs in his $2.4 trillion budget, but even fellow Republicans were skeptical he could meet his goals to reduce federal record deficits. After inheriting a record surplus, Bush has overseen a dramatic worsening of the budget picture, which is expected to yield a record $521 billion deficit this year. He hopes to improve his fiscal image before the November election by promising to reduce the deficit by a third next year and in half by 2007. Democrats scoffed at Bush's plan to stem the red ink while asking Congress to make permanent his tax cut. Fiscal conservatives accused the White House of relying on gimmicks like stretching the definition of homeland security to sidestep its own spending limits. Even a spending freeze in areas targeted by Bush would cut the deficit by just $3 billion, according to some Republicans. American military officials raised the death toll in the suicide bombings at two Kurdish party offices to 67 on Monday. The figure, up from an earlier estimate of 56 dead, was released by U.S. military officials. The officials said there were 267 people injured in the attacks. The founder of Pakistan's nuclear program has acknowledged in a written statement that he sent sensitive technology to Iran, Libya, and North Korea to aid their atomic programs, a Pakistani government official said Monday. Abdul Qadir Khan, long regarded as a national hero in Pakistan, made the confession in a statement submitted a couple of days ago to investigators probing allegations of nuclear proliferation by Pakistan, the official told the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. The Democratic presidential candidates fanned out yesterday across seven states holding contests tomorrow and a couple that aren't, seeking an edge on the biggest day yet in the race for their party's nomination. Frontrunner John Kerry, ahead in polls in five of the states, came under fire again over his fundraising. In this case, it was money raised for his 1996 Senate reelection by Johnny Chung. The Massachusetts senator said he had no idea the money Chung raised for him was tainted and had returned it once questions were raised. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
If you're tired of winter, Punxsutawney Phil had a message for you on Monday. Get used to it. The most famous furry forecaster saw his shadow this chilly Groundhog Day morning, which according to tradition means six more weeks of winter. The prediction drew boos from the thousands who gathered in 17-degree weather to witness the 118th annual weather prediction. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
Yes, yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is right, like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 and a half past the hour. Ty was mentioning during the last segment about the investigation put together by George. Investigation of U.S. intelligence failures in Iraq. Boy, is that going to be fun or what? The too stupid to be president is going to sign an executive order that will establish another full-blown, quote, investigation, close quote, of U.S. intelligence failures in Iraq. It's going to be such a joke. Republicans now are joining Democrats in calling for an investigation. Chuck Hagel, a Republican of Nebraska, senior member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, said, quote, I don't see any way around it, end quote. Why put it that way, Hagel? Why weren't you screaming for it once you realized? Isn't Hagel a veteran? Once you realized, of course, he's also an owner in one of those screwy voting machine scams, too. But once you realized, Chuck, that the head of your party is a lying bastard who would send Americans to die, I mean, didn't you learn enough about that in Vietnam, Hagel? Oh, never mind. He's a Republican. Hagel said, we need to open this up in a very short, in a very nonpartisan outside commission to see where we are. The credibility of who we are around the world and the trust of our government and our leaders is at stake. You have to be kidding me. Now, obviously, with Bush setting up the investigation himself, although he's not going to do it, wasn't his idea. Karl Rove will handpick the people to go on this committee. Rove will have greater control over not just his membership, but also the mandate and also the results. Rove is saying that it's going to be patterned after the Warren Commission. These people, I mean, they reach back. They try to align themselves with Kennedy, with the Bush's wonderful space adventure. Whatever happened to that, right? The Warren Commission, World War II, Churchill. They tried to paint Bush to look like Churchill. He wouldn't be a pimple on Churchill's ass. Now it's the Warren Commission, which was a whitewash in and of itself. But, oh, God. It says here, in appointing the members, Bush will draw heavily from intelligence experts who are familiar with the problems in the field. Wait a minute. If this is going to be investigating intelligence failures, right. You understand. According to Karl Rove, now, when I say Karl Rove, they're always talking about the senior White House official who speaks on condition of anonymity, but it's Karl Rove. According to Karl Rove, the investigation will be independent and be provided with the resources it needs to do its job. Yeah, right. Just like the 911 Commission is independent and being provided with the resources needed to do its job, like testimony from the killers that sit in the executive branch of this government who engineered this attack on our country. They're providing a cooperation too, aren't they? Yeah, well, of course.
At this point, the White House has not decided on a deadline for the investigation, a sensitive issue since its findings could become an issue in the presidential campaign, which will be decided with the election in November.
That's right. I mean, we don't want to know why George Bush and his thugs lied to the American people and the world. We want to have some kind of a half-witted answer that doesn't come until after the elections. We don't want to disturb the American people. The White House said the investigation's members will be, quote, distinguished citizens who have served the country in the past, close quote. Like who? Henry Kissinger? Yeah. However, a former weapons inspector, David Albright, said the Bush crime family could use the commission as a way to delay judgments about the intelligence community until after the election. Of course. Albright said, quote, the bottom line for the Bush administration is to delay the day of reckoning about their use of the weapons of mass destruction information. David Kay, Albright says, can blame the CIA and say, oh, I made all these comments based on what I heard from the intelligence community. Bush can't do that. He's the boss. Well, Senator Joe Biden, who is just as useless as teats on a bull, said, a Democrat from Delaware, he said, America's credibility is at stake. This isn't about politics anymore. You mean it was at one time, Joe? Oh, my God. Well, simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today took some questions from the crack White House press corps about this investigation. One of the reporters wants to ask Scotty about the new intelligence investigation, which Simple Scotty will spin as an investigation to find out how we can improve intel in the future. See, that's how this is going to be done. Oh, well, we don't want to look at the past. The past is gone. It's back there. We want the future. don't, please. We want to save American lives. We want to make sure that no more Americans are slaughtered on the homeland. So we're not going to look back. We're going to look forward. Reporter says, Scott, when do you expect the commission's work to be done?
In terms of the timeline, I would just stress that it is important that the commission's work is done in a way where it doesn't become embroiled in partisan politics. And so the president will have more to say on that soon. But it's important that they have the time to do a thorough job looking at our intelligence capabilities.
Don't you? You either have to laugh or pick up a baseball bat and start smashing things, don't you? Now, if you compare that with the 911 Commission begging for more time, Bush wants to delay this investigation's report until after the election, but he won't give the 911 investigators more time before the election to get... You see, of course you do. You're not stupid. Of course you see it. A reporter presses Scotty on the timeline a little bit. The reporter says, Scott, on that point, I mean, it's a convenient thing for the incumbent president to do, which is to basically say, let's set up a commission, but don't report back to me until after the election. Why shouldn't this president, Scott, face the facts of the intelligence gathering and the case that he made to go into Iraq in time where the results of such a commission can be laid out before the American people who are going to make a decision about whether he should stay in office? In other words, Scott, why doesn't the dumb bastard get the facts out and let the American people know so we can decide whether or not to have another 4 years of this jackass?
The decision to confront Saddam Hussein was because he was a gathering threat.
Oh, okay,
made that
yeah.
very clear.
Yeah, you did.
And
yeah.
if you're going to get into talking about intelligence, let's talk about what we knew. This,
yeah.
this was, you know, our intelligence was based on views shared by international and intelligence agencies around the world and the United Nations.
Yeah, right.
Saddam Hussein was a gathering threat. There was no debate about the fact that he was a threat.
Listen to this stuff. He's saying that the United Nations agreed with us. The United Nations said there are no weapons. We haven't found any. We can't find any. Back off. Give us more time. 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 See what's become of me. Oh, time. And McClellan says our intelligence was based on views shared by intelligence agencies around the world. No, I don't think so. Real intelligence agencies, that would be the Germans, the French, the Israelis, none of them mentioned weapons of mass destruction. Only the CIA and MI5 in the UK. Those are the only ones. Oh, never mind. Now, there's a back and forth here with David, a reporter. I don't know who this is. It might be a reporter for, what's his last name from NBC? I don't know. But here's a back and forth with Scotty and David on the pre-war intelligence investigation. It's hard to hear David in the Q&A. David says things like, so what? Maybe everybody was wrong. What does it matter who had the intelligence? If it was bad, it was bad. You're not answering the question. Is this an admission that the administration got it wrong? It's going to be hard for you to hear that. But David first says, can I follow up on one point? The president's speaking very cryptically about this. In terms of why we need such an examination of pre-war intelligence, should the American people conclude that the only reason to call for such an investigation is because the president now believes that this administration got it wrong when it came to assessing the threat that Saddam Hussein posed?
David, I think I just pointed out that the intelligence that we had prior to the war was intelligence that was shared by agencies around the world. It was intelligence shared by the United Nations. But the bottom line didn't change. The bottom line didn't change. And the bottom line didn't change. Saddam Hussein was a dangerous man in a dangerous part of the world. And Dr. K, let's talk about
that. The administration got it wrong.
Okay. I would like to make my points, and I'll welcome your questions as well.
That's the spokesperson for the White House. Doesn't he sound like somebody who is just a total jackass? Huh? God. I don't know how those reporters can maintain their self-respect and show up for this circle jerk every day. So Scotty and David continue your little dance here regarding the Iraqi intelligence investigation.
But we already know from Dr. K, from his testimony, from the progress report that he oversaw as head of the Iraq Survey Group, that Saddam Hussein had the intention and had the capability. He was a threat. He was a gathering threat. And in this day and age, in a post-September 11th war, it's important that we confront those threats. And we are doing so in a number of different ways.
You're so convinced everything was honky-dory. Why not?
I think it's important. It's important that we not only back, but that the commission looks forward to look at ways we can improve our ability to meet the challenges we face in confronting the new threat we face from weapons of mass destruction and the spread of weapons of mass destruction.
Can you believe this? David has said there in the middle, then why do we need this commission? If you're so convinced that everything was hunky-dory, why do we need a commission? Now, David, you're going to have your press pass pulled. Scotty doesn't like you doing that. It would be farcical except for the fact that Americans continue to die. Iraqis continue to be blown into a million pieces. Iraqi children are turned into a fine red mist. Afghan children are being blown to pieces. Americans are dying in Afghanistan. Americans are dying in Iraq. Americans are being killed in Afghanistan. Americans are dying in Iraq. Americans are killed in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Does anybody care? Nah.
To enemies, bombs can't discern. They just destroy all in their path.
will we ever learn? How many Iraqis per gallon?
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise 2-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio 2-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, George in North Carolina snapped me back to reality here. About the ricin that has the poison that has been found in Bill Frist's office, George writes, looking back through the fog of time,
Seems I can remember a story. Some time ago, there was a story about Frist's office having computers and hard drives seized in an investigation into the criminal activity of Republican staffers spying on Democrats. But it was so long ago, like 2 weeks almost. You can't be snooping through his office now, can you? Everything in the office might need to be destroyed to protect the investigators, or maybe his office will be sealed until, oh, I don't know, after the Republican convention? George, I'll tell you, you know, I've said it a million times before. I'll say it a million times in the future. You guys are way ahead of me. It did not occur to me to connect the dots there. You're absolutely right. Wasn't it one of Frist's main staffers who has taken a leave of absence because apparently, according to unnamed sources, this guy is a prime suspect? Huh? You're right, George. Now they'll just have to lock down everything, and oh gosh, well, we wanted to investigate, but damn, now there's poison all over. Gosh! Just when you get a good investigation going, poison shows up. Oh, damn. Oh, my God. Oh. Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings bureau chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. Al Gore III, I mean, he needs to quit hanging around with the Bush daughters. I mean,
well, the kid needs a kid. He's a man. He needs some help. I mean, anybody that drives 100 miles an hour in a 55 zone, gets drunk, smokes pot, gets behind the wheel, as far as I'm concerned, that son of a bitch needs to be locked up and never be able to drive again for the rest of his life. Put him in jail for 30, 60, 90 days and take away his driving privileges forever. I don't care if it's Al Gore or Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't want me, my wife, my children, my grandchildren on the highway facing somebody who's drunk or stoned. I don't care who it is. I have no mercy, no mercy on drunk drivers or people who get ripped and get behind the wheel of a car. No mercy. I don't care who they are.
No, well, you're absolutely right. He's been screwed up for quite a while. But about the weapons of mass destruction and this so-called Bush independent investigation.
Yeah.
I mean, what a pant load.
You know what?
This ought to be a partisan commission made up of everybody but Republicans. There ought to be Greens, Libertarians, good Democrats, and good Independents on there. None of these Republican swine like Henry Kissinger and these friends, Bush League Jr., you know, damn well, couldn't find the truth if it was...
biting him on the leg, right.
Well, yeah, okay. I was going to say something more.
I know you were.
Okay, but, you know, this is going to go away. Just like all the other scandals, the corporate scandals, Enron, the September 11th investigation, just like Iran-Contra did back in the late 80s. Believe me, this WMD issue, it's going to go away like a fart in the wind. You just watch.
I'm sure it will. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you checking in. Wasn't there a Kerry Commission... speaking of things that go away, wasn't there a Kerry Commission? No, that was the Tower Commission checking into Iran-Contra. There was some commission headed by John Kerry that whose report went nowhere. Anybody remember what that was? I could look it up, but I don't know. I got some other stuff to do here. The Kerry Commission. Somebody want to find that for me?
Propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda. Propaganda, propaganda. Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propaganda. Life is so complex.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Breeding tropical fish in captivity could be a new business opportunity that makes life easier for fish in the wild. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. It's been extremely difficult to breed a lot of tropical aquarium fish in captivity, but two researchers in Maine say it can be done, and they're trying to do it themselves. Chad Callen and Soren Hansen are graduate students in marine biology at the University of Maine. They're studying how to breed angelfish, wrasses, and the beautiful mandarin fish, and Callen says one key to success is knowing what the adult fish need to eat.
A lot of the fish that we work with spawn very frequently, sometimes every day. So they utilize a tremendous amount of energy to produce those eggs, and that energy has to come from the diet they eat. And a lot of the commercial aquarium diets that are available right now aren't adequate to sustain that long-term production of eggs. So my work is focusing on developing a diet that maximizes the quality of the eggs and the larvae that are produced.
Hansen's research focuses on what happens after the eggs hatch and how to provide the right kind of food the small fish need to survive. Hansen says a breakthrough in nutrition for tropical fish could open up a lot of new business opportunities for people everywhere.
These fish don't take up a whole lot of space, so you can have quite a high value of fish in a fairly short volume of water. And we hope that we can prove that it can be economically feasible to raise them in a place like Maine. So these fish can be raised in a number of locations in the world and not only tropical places.
Tropical fish are typically caught in the wild on coral reefs, and the techniques for catching them are often hard on the reefs and on the fish. Any breakthrough that allows tropical fish to be raised in captivity could relieve a lot of pressure on these fragile marine ecosystems. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
After Secretary of State Powell's presentation to the United Nations Security Council, the world knows that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction.
No, George, the world knows that even Colin Powell is corrupt. That's what the world knows. Our webmaster, Mark Marshall, called in about the Kerry Commission. Had to do with drug smuggling. And so is Dr. John from Springfield, Missouri, who decided to stay on the line and tell us what it was about. Go ahead, Dr. John. Welcome to the program, by the way.
Hey, good evening, Mike. I figure there aren't many chances left to say that for a while.
Oh, that's the truth.
Until we all get to take a vacation.
Yeah, we're in the countdown of this program, pal.
Well, you know, it won't last long.
No, we'll wind up somewhere.
No. Hey, listen, I pulled up the Kerry Commission report. It's on the net. And what it was the Contras were running drugs for arms and money.
That's right.
As I recall, that was the thing that remember all the Republicans screaming and yelling about MENA Airport
in Arkansas, yeah.
In Arkansas,
right?
And Bill Clinton has
trying to blame Clinton, although
right.
What Al Martin
Oliver North.
Yeah,
in Secord.
Right, and what Al Martin will tell you, I think it's Al Martin. No, one of the or no, maybe it was I forget. One of the books says that Clinton was told by the feds to stay away from
out.
Yeah, to stay away from MENA because it was a CIA
operation
point, and to stay away. But so what happened to the Kerry Commission findings? Why wasn't Bush Sr. impeached? Why
was Oh, it was Ronald Reagan.
It was during the Reagan years.
Yeah, it was during the Reagan years. And if I remember correctly, did they ever get their money back from Secord, or did Secord just steal that $2 or $3 million?
I think they all just stole whatever they had their hands on, Gorbani Far and Secord and all those thugs that Oliver North and Elliot Abrams, who's now back in the government, and Negro Ponte, who's now back in the government, and Wolfowitz, who's now back in the government, and Pearl, who might as well be, all of that crap they got away with. They got every dime. They have blood on their hands so thick they'll never get it off from dead Central Americans, and they're back running this country.
You know, it just amazes me, looking back at Iran-Contra, how bad that really was. And I mean, that was awful, and basically nothing happened. You know, sent Elliot Abrams to jail for 2 months. Big deal. You know?
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, the charge against Saddam. He invaded his neighbors. What the hell did we do? it's just astonishing. No, we didn't send overtly, visibly, any troops into Central America, into Guatemala or Honduras, although we did in Honduras. Honduras was a huge a U.S. military base, but into Nicaragua, any of those countries. And yet we funded and we provided the training, the weaponry, the places in Honduras, U.S. military base where torture rooms were set up to bring in rebels.
Mike. Yeah? You got to look on the bright side of this, though.
Yeah, what's that?
It was the poor black crack addicts out on the street who paid for it all.
Oh, that's true.
So you got to look on the bright side.
I do indeed. Thanks, Dr.
Hey,
John.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Yeah, the whole Iran-Contra thing. There should have been people that went to prison. There should have been people who, all right, in Reagan's case, confined to his home for the rest of his life, which I guess he is now, but I mean, while he was still un-Alzheimer'd. But Pappy Bush should still be sitting in prison someplace. All of these people. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Sure, Mike. Okay.
Richard is calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. I was going to talk to you about libertarianism, but I'll try to keep on a little bit more on topic instead. This whole Iraq thing, I was wondering why nobody in the press corps ever asks Scotty McClellan why, if the world is safer without Saddam, and I don't think any of us disagree with that completely, but why would the Reagan and Bush administrations have supported him for 10, 12 years if he was such a dangerous person? Nobody ever asked that.
Could it be because Reagan and Bush were criminals and they were dangerous people? I mean, that's the answer that leaps quickest to my mind. Ronald Reagan and George Pappy Bush were both mass murderers. Don't forget, it was Reagan who went to Bitburg Cemetery to pay homage to the Nazi SS. These people are literally killers. I mean, I don't sit on this program every night and just try to be cute and say, oh, they're killers or murderers. They are literally murderers. Now, did Ronald Reagan ever pick up a weapon and fire a bullet into somebody's head? No. He made sure that other people did that for him. Did Pappy Bush? No. He made sure other people did that for him. Has George Bush? No. He makes sure other people does it for him. These people are killers. I mean, they just are. So nobody's going to ask that question because, I don't know, I guess people in the crack White House press corps want to stay alive.
Well, here's what worries me is that when you look back at it, it's not, I mean, it's, you can't really lay it all on Republicans because you have Jimmy Carter supporting Suharto and Indonesia and Clinton.
I've said many times, you can go all the way back to the Truman Doctrine, which got us into the not just the Korean War, but also the war in Vietnam. Let's take it back to the beginning. Let's keep going back. I mean, we can go back. But when we talk about Central America,
Central America in the 80s. We also have a filthy, bloody, sordid history, the United States does, in Central America going back to the turn of the 19th and 20th century. We have used Central America over the course of the history of this country, especially the last 150 years, as I don't know, some place where we go and saturate the ground with blood. We set up corporations to grow sugarcane and bananas and whatever the hell they grow, hence the term Banana Republic. We make sure the people stay stupid, ignorant, uneducated, or dead, or a combination of the rest of it. General Smedley Butler, two-time winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor, has I don't have the quote right in front of me, but he said a couple of times how he was misused in the Marine Corps. In the 20s, when we sent the Marine Corps into Nicaragua, when we sent the Marine Corps into Central America to kill and butcher and hack people into pieces and torture them because they were resisting United Fruit Company. United Fruit Company said, no, you're not going to own your own land. We're going to own it. So, I mean, you know, where do you want to start? What we're talking about, though, what I was talking about, was strictly the situation during the 80s under Reagan Bush.
Right, and I think Smedley Butler said something about how Al Capone didn't hold a candle to the CIA because he could only control
a couple of
neighborhood.
Al Capone didn't hold a candle to the Marine Corps. He was talking about the Marine Corps because the way it had been misused. There was no CIA. When Smedley Butler was a two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, he was talking about the misuse of the U.S. military to kill people and torture people and rape people and throw them alive into pits in order to further U.S. corporations. And Jesus, that was almost 100 years ago. Boy, we've really come a long way, haven't we?
I know it. And this just one more quick thing.
Sure.
An investigation about the intelligence. You just have to wonder. I mean, they said way back that one of the problems was that the FBI and CIA refused to share information because they didn't want the other agency to get credit for it. And I mean, look at where that got us. And I don't know that anything's going to be resolved with that either.
Right. I hear that. Hey, thanks, Richard.
I'll try to call you back.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Bush, let me play a little bit of this Bush, his remarks to the press this morning after his meeting with his toy cabinet. A few remarks here on the budget that he released today. What is it? $2.something trillion? Bush doesn't mention how, despite his destruction of scores of programs and services, he still has us in a half-trillion-dollar deficit spending mode. And just like the MoveOn.org ad showed yesterday on CNN, and it played today on CNN, our grandchildren will still be paying for this after we're dead.
This administration has put together a budget. They'll be submitting it to Congress, which sets clear priorities: winning the war on terror, protecting our homeland, making sure children get educated, making sure the seniors get a modern Medicare system. And at the same time, we're calling upon Congress to be wise with the taxpayers' money.
Oh, my God.
We look forward to working with them to bring a fiscal discipline to the appropriations process so we can cut the deficit in half over a five-year period of time.
Here's a jackass that was handed the largest budget surplus in history. In 3 years, he's turned it into the largest budget deficit in history. He is bankrupting the country, and he has the nerve to sit there, and he can get away with it. He knows he can. And say to the press corps, we look forward to working with the Congress to bring fiscal discipline so we can cut the deficit in half over a five-year period. I don't know. It doesn't say somewhere in Bush's Bible, in Bush's fake Christianity, about lying, something about lying. Didn't Dante say something about the furthest ring of hell reserved for hypocrites? Oh, George, you've got a rough eternity ahead of you. A reporter at this little press gaggle after the cabinet meeting, reporter has a question for George.
Sir, do you worry that your budget passes along problems to future generations? I'm sorry, I don't mean to put it so bluntly, but, you know, you often say you don't want to do that.
No, I'm confident our budget addresses a very serious situation, and that is that we are at war, and we had dealt with a recession.
Yeah.
And our budget is able to address those significant
factors in a way that reduces the deficit in half. And, you know, we propose that Congress disposes, and so we look forward to working with the appropriators to meet our priorities and to reduce the deficit in half. We're confident we can do so.
Yeah. Do you worry about your budget, you know, about passing it on to future generations, sir? He continues to answer reporter Bill's question about the budget.
The reason we are where we are in terms of the deficit is because we went through a recession.
Uh-huh.
We were attacked.
Uh-huh.
And we're fighting a war.
The trifecta!
And these are high hurdles for a budget and for a country to overcome, and yet we've overcome them because we've got a great country full of decent people.
Yeah.
And the
economy's
getting better.
Yeah.
And as the economy gets better, it enables us to send up a budget to Congress that does cut the deficit in half.
Oh, you liar. We got a great country full of decent people and nice old ladies and cute little puppies and teddy bears. We got teddy bears in this country, too. And ham sandwiches on white bread and stewed tomato sandwiches on white bread so you have to lift and eat quick lest it fall through the crust. This is a great country. What was your question about the deficit? Never mind. Now, reporter Terry asked about the new Iraq WMD investigation he's forming about the intelligence breakdown. The reporter says, Mr. President, I'd like to ask you about this intelligence investigation that you're going to order. Do you think that the country is owed an explanation about the Iraq intelligence failures before the election? You know, just kidding, sir. But so the voters have this information when they elect a new president? What do you say, Mr. Bush?
Well, first of all, I want to know all the facts.
Yeah?
We do know that Saddam Hussein had the intent and the capabilities to cause great harm.
What?
We know he was a danger. He was not only a danger to people in the free world, he was a danger to his own people.
Yeah?
He slaughtered thousands of people. He imprisoned people.
Yeah, and they had rape rooms, and they dumped litter all over the streets of Baghdad. And what else did they do? Oh my God! Do you know what they did to the Kurds? Oh, they were just real awful people. The world is a better place without them. Continue to answer the reporter's question about his new investigation into the pre-war intelligence. The first sentence here sounds like some kind of rummy speak gobbledygook, but you figure it out.
What we don't know yet is what we thought and what the Iraqi survey group has found, and we want to look at that. But we also want to look at our war against proliferation and weapons of mass destruction kind of in a broader context.
Yeah.
And so I'm putting together an independent bipartisan commission to analyze where we stand, what we can do better as we fight this war against terror.
And there you have it. There you have it. George Bush and the crack White House press gaggle this morning as George finished up his little morning cabinet meeting with all the bright, shiny people who make up his cabinet. Mr. Bush answering some tough questions from the crack White House press corps, and Mr. Bush in his usual articulate, well-informed way, answering in a manner that explains to the American people that, by God, there is a strong Christian man in charge of this country, and we don't have anything to worry about. And if you think you have something to worry about, well, then you must be a communist or worse, a liberal. So, there. Howard Dean, huh? Marge is calling from Maryville, Indiana. Hey, Marge.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that luncheon that he had with Kay today?
I would. I much rather would have been a pigeon that hadn't dropped anything on the ground for about a month and just kind of...
A what?
Oh, never mind.
God, that man is...
What you really called about, though, is...
What I really called about... Before I get on to that, do you suppose maybe Ashcroft was eating a pretzel while he was watching the halftime show at the Super Bowl yesterday?
Do you know, there's an article out in the Washington Post that says that Bush did not see Janet Jackson's boob because he had fallen asleep prior to the halftime show. So the Republic is safe. George Bush did not see another woman's boobie, unlike that filthy Bill Clinton who, well, you know what he did. Let me put you on hold, Marge. I'll come back right after this break.
For an illegal favor, sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Cord and gave birth to little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. Well, one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do. And I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi, Steve. I'm Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off.
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Thanks, everybody, for sending me info on the Kerry Commission. But Bob in Groton, Mass. Sent me something here. It's very interesting. I'll share it with you after after the break. Back to Marge in Maryville, Indiana. Thanks for holding on, Marge.
You know, in looking for alternatives to ease the withdrawal symptoms that I will suffer when you go away for a while,
mm-hmm.
I've hit on this now with Bill Moyers, and yesterday he had a man on that was talking about 24 lines in this latest omnibus bill that was supposed to be funding our budget that should have been done before October.
Yeah.
24 lines would say that both Verizon and Fox can keep their 39 TV stations, newspapers, whatever the hell,
mm-hmm.
That they've already obtained, which is over the limit of 35,
mm-hmm.
so that we're concentrating more and more the power of the media,
sure, sure,
the propaganda.
Well, some of these people are straying off the reservation, as they say. You still have a few wise-ass reporters who haven't taken to heart Karl Rove's directive that any kind of a challenge to the Bush administration borders on treason. And you still occasionally have an editorial in the New York Times or the Washington Post or L.A. Times that mildly challenges the policies of the Bush administration. So, I would think they got to tighten down a little bit if they can eliminate what little competition is left and just get everybody on the same page, Marge.
Competition, well, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and there's one other thing. In Saturday's Chicago Tribune, I love it where they always put these things in on Saturday. There was an item by Gina Holland from Associated Press. Scalia, Cheney trip stirs protest. Did
right.
you see that?
I've been reading about the little duck hunting trip they went on, yeah.
Well, there's another little item to that. In addition to the duck hunting trip this month, Scalia had dinner with Cheney in November after the Bush administration lawyers had asked the court to consider his case.
Well, we're not surprised at that.
Well, I mean, gee whiz.
You're not surprised at it. Neither am I. These people, that'd be like saying Frank Nitti had lunch with Al Capone, so therefore Nitti's testimony is, they're all gangsters, they're all killers, they're all intent on destroying this country. So it's not a surprise.
According to the law, the federal law requires judges to stay out of cases in which their impartiality might reasonably
question. Wait, Marge. You're taking federal law seriously where it concerns Scalia and Bush?
You mean they wrote
Cheney?
It on all that paper, they killed all those trees to write it down, and it doesn't mean anything?
Something like that.
Aw.
Thanks, Marge.
Take care.
You too.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain
pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush proposed on Monday cuts in more than 125 government programs in his $2.4 trillion budget, but even fellow Republicans were skeptical he could meet his goals to reduce federal record deficits. After inheriting a record surplus, Bush has overseen a dramatic worsening of the budget picture, which is expected to yield a record $521 billion deficit this year. He hopes to improve his fiscal image before the November election by promising to reduce the deficit by a third next year and in half by 2007. To get there, he is asking Congress to terminate 65 major programs and reduce another 63, reserving the bulk of new federal spending for homeland security and defense. Democrats scoffed at Bush's plan to stem the red ink while asking Congress to make permanent his tax cut. Fiscal conservatives accused the White House of relying on gimmicks like stretching the definition of homeland security to sidestep its own spending limits. Even a spending freeze in areas targeted by Bush would cut the deficit by just $3 billion, according to some Republicans. The Democratic presidential candidates fanned out yesterday across seven states holding contests tomorrow and a couple that aren't, seeking an edge on the biggest day yet in the race for their party's nomination. Frontrunner John Kerry, ahead in polls in five of the states, came under fire again over his fundraising. In this case, it was money raised for his 1996 Senate re-election by Johnny Chung, a Taiwanese businessman who later pleaded guilty to passing illegal contributions to President Bill Clinton and Kerry. The Massachusetts senator said he had no idea the money Chung raised for him was tainted and had returned it once questions were raised. American military officials raised the death toll in the suicide bombings at two Kurdish party offices to 67 on Monday. The figure, up from an earlier estimate of 56 dead, was released by U.S. military officials. The officials said there were 267 people injured in the attacks. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Tacking junior or the second onto a boy's name is so 20th century. So a self-described engineering geek took a software approach to naming his newborn son. John Blake Cusack talked his wife Jamie into naming their son John Blake Cusack 2.0. Version 2.0 was born Tuesday at Holland Community Hospital, and the proud parents took him home Friday. Cusack said he had the idea for a few months and spent the better part of that time persuading his wife to go along. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller, New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working.
They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Bob sent us in. This is kind of interesting. This kind of ties into the question I asked earlier about the Kerry Commission. Let me share some of this with you. It says, following the 2000 presidential race with memories of vote scam, hanging chads, a debacle in Florida, and a possible 93-94 election still fresh, or an impossible stolen election still fresh in our minds, many people are wondering if this falls contest will likewise be marred by some form of vote tampering or electronic ballot rigging. But in all honesty, the New World Order power brokers aren't even concerned with such notions this year. Why? Because if John Kerry gets the Democratic nomination and runs against George Bush, both candidates will already be bought, sold, and controlled. It won't matter to the ruling elite who ultimately wins because both of these men have already surrendered their souls to the evil cabal years ago. What makes me arrive at this conclusion? The author asks. Well, for starters, George Bush and John Kerry are both graduates of Yale, that long-heralded bastion of the Eastern establishment. In addition, each of these men were members of Skull and Bones, the most exclusive secret society fraternity in America, and prime breeding ground for the CIA and Council on Foreign Relations. But wait, there's more. John Kerry's wife, Teresa, was formerly married to Pennsylvania Senator John Hines. Guess what college he attended? Right, Yale. And guess what notorious fraternity he pledged to? Right, Skull and Bones. Now ask yourself, what are the odds that both presidential candidates went to the same school, belonged to the same secret society, and that one of the one of their wives was married to two different skull and bone senators. It's infinitesimal. It's off the charts. To make matters even stranger, Teresa Carey's widowed husband also had direct ties to the Bush family. According to researcher Rodney Stitch in Defrauding America, when George Bush Sr. and CIA Director William Casey engineered the October surprise to bribe Iranian officials into retaining U.S. hostages until after the 1980 election, two of the passengers on Bush's flight to Paris were Senator John Hines along with Senator John Tower from Texas. Even more intriguing is the fact that John Hines chaired a three-man presidential review board that probed the Iran-Contra affair and had in his possession all the damning documents from that sordid affair, while John Tower led the infamous Tower Commission that investigated a variety of different CIA criminal activities and dirty dealings. Coincidentally, both John Hines and John Tower died in plane wrecks on successive days in 1991. Tower in Georgia and Hines in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Once again, I must ask, what are the odds of such an occurrence, especially when both men had close ties to George Bush Sr., who was a former CIA director in the mid-70s? Did both of these men uncover information that they refused to keep silent about any longer? Before you answer, consider that after Senator John Hines died, his wife married Senator John Kerry, who was chairman of the 1988 Kerry Commission. Described in the Senate Committee Report on Drugs, Law Enforcement, and Foreign Policy as focusing on allegations of illegal gun running and narcotics trafficking associated with the Contra War against Nicaragua. In relation to the CIA, Department of Justice, U.S. State Department, and the Office of the President and Vice President, the testimony that took place during these trials, both in open and closed-door sessions, was quite possibly the most damning ever against our federal government. Yet, mysteriously, nearly all of it was suppressed and not widely reported in the mainstream media. Why? Senator Kerry, as a Democrat, had every opportunity to blast a Republican administration out of the water, yet he inexplicably remained silent and the status quo prevailed. Could it be that someone tapped him on the shoulder and told him if he played his cards right and kept these sordid matters hush-hush, he would be rewarded sometime in the future? Well, here we are, 16 years later, and guess what? John Kerry, a Yale Skull and Bonesman class of 66, who kept his mouth shut about Yale Skull and Bonesman George Bush Sr., class of 48, is now running for the presidency against Yale Skull and Bonesman George W. Bush, class of 68. Peculiar? You tell me. So when people start mentioning vote scam and rigged elections in the November election, all I can say is, why should the controllers bother? Both of their candidates are already in the bag and will carry out the aims of those who are pulling their strings from behind the scenes. It's good to have friends in all the right places, don't you think? Oh my God, that's right, I forgot about the plane crash. John Tower's plane crash was here in Georgia. He was on his way to I think Savannah. And it was a commercial jet, and was it a commercial jet? No, it wasn't a commercial jet. It was a private jet. And there were six or seven people, three or four, two, 12, I don't know. Other people died in the plane crash along with John Tower. And John Hines, Teresa Hines' husband, former husband, who is now married to John Kerry, I think his plane crash was a small plane also, just like the senator from Missouri and, of course, the senator from Minnesota. Jeez. Well, I just found it interesting because Bob sent this to me from Groton, Mass., doing a little research on the Iran-Contra, or on the Kerry Commission. The Kerry Commission hearing was about drug running, drugs, law enforcement, foreign policy. Drug running, narcotics trafficking, The stuff that Oliver North engineered in this country back in the 80s, Oliver North and Elliot Abrams and Secord and Poindexter and George Bush Jr. and the rest of these people, you know, they set, they in order to fund, you know, they used, they traded weapons to a terrorist state, what we identified as a terrorist state, Iran. They dealt drugs. They brought enormous amounts of drugs in this country. That's another reason they went after Manuel Noriega, is because Noriega knew about this. I mean, Noriega, Panama was being used as a transshipment point by Pappy Bush to bring the drugs in the country to sell, to get the money, to buy weapons, to go back down to Central America and kill people and get rid of Noriega, Ortega, get rid of whomever they wanted to get rid of. And the Boland Amendment says, well, you can't do this with American taxpayer dollars. So all of these right-wing freaks, thugs, killers in this country, Phyllis Schlafly and all these people, these retired generals set up this underground network. Well, it was just awful. And people wonder why they hate us. They don't hate us because we buy houses. They don't hate us because we have free They don't hate us because we pretend we're having free elections. They hate us because our leaders, Democrat and Republican, but mostly Republican, have slaughtered hundreds of thousands of people around the planet for sport. That's why they hate us. Now, that little thing I was reading to you about John Kerry, I'm not saying necessarily I believe that. I was just reading something to you that Bob sent me from Groton, Mass. Remember, Dennis Kucinich is the person I'm supporting. We're at 800. Talk yes. Carl is calling from Des Plaines, Illinois. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Mike, good evening. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
This is going to dovetail very neatly with what you were just talking about.
Okay.
I wanted to remind your listeners that when it comes to the war on terror, the Bush crime family motto is just say no. Do you remember a couple of guys by the name of Posada and Bush, B-O-S-C-H? Does it ring any bells with you?
Bosch, the guy that blew up the the Cuban airliner?
Well, he was the masterminder. Posada blew it up.
Right.
But, these guys, unbelievable. Blow up a Cubana airliner.
Orlando Bosch.
During Nixon's administration, all right, and their unending war against Cuba, because, you know, there's such an omnipresent threat to the security.
Oh, they are. States. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Check this out. After Posada does this, the CIA finances a band of Salvadoran criminals operating under him and financed out of Miami by Jorgen Mascanosa. He's a Miami businessman, head of the tax-exempt Cuban-American National Foundation.
I remember him, yeah.
Posada goes from Venezuela to El Salvador, where he's put to work at the Ilopango Military Air Base to help organize U.S. terror attacks against Nicaragua under, guess who? Our friend Oliver
North.
Right. Okay. So when he's called on this, when he's talking to his debriefers, Posada gives detail after detail of his terrorist activities. They would go into Nicaragua and mow down teenage girls and boys who were trying to bring in the sugarcane harvest and report back to the CIA masters that they had gunfights with Sandinista terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Bay of Pigs veteran. When he joins Venezuelan intelligence with CIA help, mind you, he arranges for his master, Bosch, as an associate from his CIA days, who was convicted in the U.S. for a bomb attack on Cuba-bound freighter, to join him in Venezuela to organize further attacks against Cuba.
Right.
Now, here's the amazing part to me, is that he was identified not by the Socialist Workers website, not by some bleeding heart liberal. He was identified by the FBI as being responsible for 30 other acts of terrorism. Here's the punchline. He's granted a presidential pardon in 1989 by the incoming Bush 1 administration after intense lobbying by that other great friend of the American patriot, Jeb Bush. Over the strenuous objections of the Justice Department, mind you.
Yeah,
so, you know, when you say the Bush crime family,
I ain't kidding.
Like, you're not kidding.
No, not at all.
You're absolutely on the money.
Not at all. Hey, thanks for that bit of information, Carl. It's amazing the web they have woven, is it not?
Yes, but how soon we all forget.
Oh, of course we forget. We're Americans. We're Americans.
All right, Mike.
Thank you, Carl. we're Americans. Not only do we forget, but our media refused to tell us this sort of stuff. And the few little, you know, the Iran-Contra story was broken by a Lebanese weekly newspaper. A weekly newspaper from Lebanon broke the story of Iran-Contra.
Hey. Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Oh, nice.
Come on.
The best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity